It was a city that much wickedness was happening. Even in the temples, even in the different areas, it was taking place. And what was happening is some of those ideas and some of the philosophies of the world of that day was creeping in to the church. And Paul, out of love for the church, wrote this letter under inspiration of God, and he says, my brethren, because of love, I need to share some things with you. I need you to understand some truths. I need you to see some things that are not right in the church. I need you to understand there's some things you're doing that is not what you ought to be doing in your lives, and there needs to be a change. Now, as we've been looking at 1 Corinthians, and we've been going through this, there's been some hard things that have been hit. I mean, he didn't sugarcoat anything as he was talking to this church at Corinth. He called them out on the carpet about some things. He laid out some things and he gave them some ideas and some thoughts and truths to get a hold of them so they would get things right. One of the biggest issues they struggled with was that of sexual immorality. We dealt with that last time. Last week we didn't look in 1 Corinthians. Last week we were looking in the Old Testament. We looked about Caleb surrendering all. He kept laboring. If you weren't here last week, let me encourage you. I believe that message, many said it was a very helpful message. It was a message I think was needed. And if you were here, gone last week, please either get on our Facebook page or go on our church website and you can listen to that. But now we are back in 1 Corinthians and we see this. There was this sexual immorality. It was all that was taking place. We looked at some of the things. Remember, it wasn't all-inclusive list. It gave some things that was happening. Remember, there was issues in the church that they were trying to sweep under the carpet, but it had to come to head. Then it started calling out individuals and what they were involved in, because what was happening is some of the individuals that were saved from certain things were going back to their old lifestyle. They were going back to the old ways of life. They were going back to the ways that it used to be and trying to put it in the church and Christianize it and say it's okay to do. Now as we come to verse 12 through 14, we're going to read it in just a minute. It sets the stage for another couple verses down that we know about. Our body is the temple. We're not going to get into that this week. But it sets the stage. And I want us to look at a message this morning. It's okay, but not the best. It's okay, but not the best. Because we are going to be introduced to a principle in verse number 12 that if you and I can get a hold of, will be life transforming. It is a principle, I'll be honest with you, that several years ago I got a hold of. And it has literally changed the way I look at things. It has literally changed why I do what I do. It is understanding this principle. If we get a hold of it this morning, I believe it will help everyone in this room. Because this is a principle that we need to understand and see. Because this principle will transform you if you understand it may be okay, but it's not the best. If you're able to, please stand and read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse number 12 this morning, and through verse 14. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at your word this morning, we ask that you illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, help us to see this truth that you want us to glean this morning. And Lord, help us be willing to apply this truth to our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Christians do not grow and glow because they don't comprehend the truth of God's ownership of their lives. In this verse here, we're going to look at this. I want us to understand some things may be permissible, but not all things are profitable. Look at verse 12. You see, this idea of okay, but not the best, we have to understand this morning, some things may be acceptable, some things may be permissible, but it's not what is the best for our lives. Look at verse 12. And all things are lawful unto me. What Paul was saying here is all things are lawful. There are things that are okay to do. There's things that are acceptable to me to do. Now, we understand the time. We understand there are some people that had different views and different things happening and what was going on. He said, all right, there's some things that I can be involved in that's legal, that's acceptable by many. They may be lawful. It may be okay. I can do those things in my lives. But he says this, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You see, the problem was happening. The Christians in Corinth were excusing their sins by saying that because Christ had taken away all their sins and they had complete freedom to live as they pleased and do whatever they wanted to do. They took their freedom as a license to continue in their sin. Romans 6 deals with this, and it says, God forbid that you continue in your sin. God forbid that you continue to do those things. And what is he saying here? He's saying this. It may be lawful. Your sins are forgiven. Yes, God has given you freedom. But it's not the best for you. It's carrying this idea there's some things that might not even be wrong. It might not even be that wrong to do those things, but is it expedient? Is it the best for you? You see, this is a principle we must get this morning. Just because the world says it's legal doesn't mean it's the best thing for our lives. I want us to understand this morning, just because some Christian community has put their stamp of approval upon something, that we as believers ought to be involved in it. Just because certain groups and certain places are going different ways and different avenues and things does not mean it's the best for our lives. It says, just because it's lawful, just because I'm able to do it, just because I have the freedom to do it, just because I have the right to do it, does not mean it's going to help me in my Christian life. Because my goal in my life is what? Is to please God and to live for God with all that I have. So this is the principle. If what I'm doing is not going to help me fulfill my purpose of life, then it's not the best for me. You see, it may be acceptable, but if it's not helping me fulfill my purpose of pleasing God, loving the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, then I shouldn't be doing it. I want our young people to get this truth. Because there are some things that you as young people will look and say, well, it's not wrong for me to be involved in this. It's not wrong for me to go to certain places. It's not wrong for me to be around certain groups of people. It's not wrong for me to be with this and that. But let me tell you, if it's not helping you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's not helping you fulfill your purpose of life, then it's not profitable for you. It's not expedient for you. It's not the best for you. Oh, it may be acceptable in this circle, but it doesn't mean that's what you ought to be doing in your life. Adults, we need to get this truth. We understand the world and what we live in this morning. We understand there are many things happening, but we are filling, and verse 13 is going to hit this a little bit too, but we are filling our lives with many things that's not helping us fulfill our purpose of pleasing God and living for Him as we should. It may be okay. Now, I'm going to hit some things that some of you may disagree with me this morning. That's okay. You can be wrong. But I want to share some things. Now, I know there's some issues, and people will differ on some views that I'm going to share here, but I want you to see a couple principles here. Okay? It may be acceptable, but it doesn't mean it's the best for you. I'm going to go to a very one that people disagree with. And I can prove for you scripture why I believe the way I believe, but I want to give you this principle. It is that of drinking. All right, alcohol. We're not going to debate that this morning, but I want to ask you this. It may be acceptable in some circles to social drink. It may be acceptable in some cultures to drink. It may be acceptable in this and that. But let me ask you. It may be acceptable. It may be lawful. It may be okay to do. But let me ask you, is it the best for you to fulfill your purpose to glorify God? Is it profitable? Is it helpful? Is it going to make you closer to God? Is it going to be that testimony in this world to point people to Jesus? It may be okay, it might be acceptable in certain places, but it doesn't mean it's profitable. See, as Christians, we need to sit down and we need to look at things and say, okay, it may be okay, but is it the best for my life to fulfill what God wants me to do? You know what? It might be acceptable to not do certain things. Like go to church. Let's just be honest. It's acceptable in our circle today to not go to church. We can not be in God's house. All right, that's fine. Now, I know the Bible says not forsaking our assembly itself together. I know there's commands and there's things that tells us we need to be. But it's been acceptable in our society that we don't need to be in God's house. But is it profitable for you? Is it beneficial? Is it the best for you to fulfill your purpose of glorifying God? Because God tells us, where do we need to be, and we need to be fed. Yes, I can read the Bible myself. But if we read the Bible ourselves, we'll find out we need to be in God's house, by the way. And what we need to do is we need to see this and understand it may be acceptable. It may be okay. It may be what the Christianity today is saying is good, but let me tell you, is it really profitable? Is it really beneficial? Is it really helpful for you to glorify God and please God with your life? Oh, we can say it's okay to miss because of this, and it's okay to not go because of that, and it's okay to do this, but is it the best for your life? Is it best for you to fulfill what God wants you to do? You see, Paul was addressing the church of Corinth. He's saying, all right, you're doing some things that might be okay. I can do whatever I want to do, but doesn't mean I'm going to do it because I want to please God, because I want to do those things that are going to help me, not hinder me in my Christian walk. I want us to think about some other avenues, other things in our lives. Do you know, it's acceptable today for believers not to read the Bible. That's why we go to church. That's why the pastor gets paid. He gets paid to read those words in that book. He gets paid to study it and to define stuff for us and explain things and to make it applicable to us. That's his job. I don't need to do it. Okay, it's okay if you don't read the Bible. All right, no one's going to throw you in jail for not reading the Bible. It's okay not to do it. But let me ask you, is it profitable for you? Is it helpful for you? Is it beneficial for you not to be in God's Word? Well, the answer is no, it's not beneficial. And the issue is this. We are doing what we want to do. We're basing on our freedom that we can choose whatever choices we want. And again, we can choose our choices, but we can't choose our consequences. And we can choose whatever we want to do, and we can do whatever we want. But the issue is this, it's not beneficial or profitable in our lives. It may be allowable, but it's not profitable. Do you know our government has laws that it makes certain things legal, but it doesn't mean it's going to help you and help me in our lives? Now, I'm glad Idaho has not done so. But most of you know you can go across the border and you can get certain things that is legal over there. Now, again, I'm not trying to get in a debate with anybody, but I want to tell you something. Even though it's legal over there, it's not profitable, because that drug is a mind-altering drug that even the little bit of that drug starts to deteriorate the mind no matter what you're using it for. It may be acceptable, it may be legalized, it may be okay to do, it doesn't mean it's going to help you. See, we can look at things today and say, well, as a believer, I have my freedom, I have my Christian liberty, I have my rights, I can choose to stay home and watch this sport, I can choose to stay home and go shopping, I can stay to choose home and have this family activity, I can choose to do this and I can choose to do that, I can be involved in this, I can be involved in that, I can make all the choices I want. That's great, you have your rights, you have your freedoms, but it doesn't mean it's going to help you with your goal of glorifying God and pleasing Him. We can say, I have a right to keep my family home because of this excuse and that excuse. But it doesn't mean it's profitable for your family. It doesn't mean it's beneficial for your family. It doesn't mean it's going to help your family grow in the things of God. It doesn't mean it's going to help you be in those things. It's not. You see, we get this idea that we need to do what we want to do and have our own rights and have our own freedoms and have our own things. And yeah, it's because of what God's did and this is allowable and because I have this freedom I can live. Wait a second. Is it profitable? Is it beneficial? Is it helpful? But look at the last part of verse 12 there. It's permissible but not profitable, because all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know what Paul said? One, I shouldn't do it because it's not helping me. Two, I shouldn't do it because it's going to control me. And what he's talking about there is in that church of Corinth, it was again the sexual sins and immorality things happening, and that's what we're going to get in the next verse in just a minute. But he's saying there's things that are allowable, but it's going to control me, and because it's going to control me, I can't be involved in those. Do you know there's good things that can control you? Now, we gave some things that aren't good, and we can agree and disagree on some of that, but those on the whole aren't good things. But there's some good things that can control you. There's people that have hobbies, and some of their hobbies control them. Now, I know not many in this church are this way, but in this area, hunting is a god to a lot of people. It is a hobby that has taken people and controlled people. Now, is going hunting bad? No, it's not. Now, if you go provide for the family, come back empty handy, that's a whole other story, Brian. And so, but the idea is this, and even if you're gone a time and here and there, that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is this: when it controls you, when you have to spend money on the hunting equipment, you have to spend this and you don't have money to buy food for your family. This is the idea. It's not profitable. It's not the best for you because it's controlling you. Where all you think about is hunting. All you think about is going to go kill poor Bambi. All you think about is those things. And you're just going. And that's all you're consumed with. You don't spend time with your family. You don't spend time doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. Your house is falling apart. Your lawn is 5,000 feet tall. All this is taking place. Why? Because you're controlled by your hobby. You're controlled by the hunting. He says, it's not good for me to be controlled by anything. Some individuals in our world are controlled by a thing called TV. I did not realize how many people like to binge watch things. I did some studying and research. There are people, and I don't get this at all. I'm not a big TV fan anyways. But I don't get this at all. There's people that will spend 12 to 14 hours a day watching the television set and watch one program and continue to watch it over and over and all the different episodes and get the whole 20,000 seasons in one day. I don't get it. Now, is it wrong watching television? As long as it's not nasty stuff and you got to be careful of all that and all the propaganda and all that. But here's the thing. If that's controlling you, and they said that people watch 12 or 14 hours, some people, this is going to get a little disgusting, even have a toilet next to them so they don't have to leave to go to the bathroom. Now, there's a problem when this controls you. There's a problem when this has got the best of you. Now, here's where it is. It says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. We're not to be controlled by anything but the power of God. And we have allowed things, he's saying, Church of Corinth, you have allowed things to control you, and it should not be that way. It should not control you. You should not allow those things. Now, another issue that people struggle with is that of material possessions. Do you know it's not anything wrong with having nice stuff? But do you know there's people controlled by the power of spending? And they have money in their pockets and it's burning a hole and they got to spend it, right? Most of your kids are that way, right? They get a dollar and they have to go to the store and go spend that dollar. But the idea is this, we're controlled by certain things. Another area is that of sports. I did some research and I found out, do you know there is people that are so consumed with watching sports, not playing because most of them can't play it, they watch it, and they're so consumed with watching the sports that they don't even take care of their daily hygiene. Wait a second. We're controlled by those things. You see, there's choices and things we ought to be doing in our lives. There's things that we ought to be doing and how we ought to be serving, how we ought to be pleasing God and glorifying God, but we're controlled by those things, and because we're controlled by those things, we're not fulfilling what God wants us to do. Because I'm controlled by it, I'm not in God's house. Because I'm controlled by it, I'm not serving God. Because I'm controlled by it, I'm not giving. Because I'm controlled by it, I'm not living for God. I'm controlled by those things, and it's keeping me from serving and pleasing God with my life. The believer is to be filled or under the control of the Holy Spirit, not controlled by anything else. When the Holy Spirit controls us, it becomes profitable for our lives. When we're not controlled by the Holy Spirit, we're controlled by our emotions and we're controlled by our feelings. And we're going to do what verse 13 says. Look at this. There needs to be removing. There's got to be removing because we become controlled by the flesh instead of being controlled by the Spirit. So first we see it's permissible, not profitable. But let's look at the removing here, verse 13. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God destroyed both of it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now, what is this telling us? What is this showing us here? There's got to be removing because what is permissible is not helping us, but we need to go a step further. There are some things that we are feeding that we ought not to be feeding. He says, meat's for the belly and the belly for meat, but God should restore both in them. The believer's body was important in that day, and it's important in our day. That's why it's going to talk about our body being the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he's saying, you are filling your bodies. You're giving your body meat. You're giving your body gratification. You're giving your body involved in the sexual things that are happening in that day, but it's not what it ought to be. You see, he's saying, Church of Corinth, you're involved, individuals of the Church of Corinth, you're involved in some sexual sins, you're involved in some immoralities, you're involved in some impurities, you're involved in some things. Now you're just doing lawful things, now you're doing non-lawful things. You're involved in those things, and as you're involved in those things, you're feeding the flesh, not feeding the spirit, and that shouldn't be acceptable. It says, the body's not for fornication. We talked about fornication several different messages because Paul's hit this. It's not for your gratification. Do you know why you're here this morning? Do you know why you're saved this morning? It's not for self-gratification. You see, I want to make myself happy. And because I want to make myself happy, I do whatever I want to do to make myself happy. You see, I want to make myself feel good about certain things, and so I'm going to feed my flesh with those things that give me my high, if you will. You know what Paul's saying? There's some things permissible but not profitable, but there's some things that need to be removed, and one thing that needs to be removed is you've got to stop living for self and start living for the Lord. That's what that verse tells us. You got to stop living for self and start living for the Lord. That is a principle we must get a hold of this morning in each of our lives. Stop trying to make yourself happy and start pleasing God. Stop making decisions that are going to make you feel good in your life and start making decisions that you know that God's going to be happy with. There's some things in our lives that we're doing right now this morning that makes God sick. It's an abomination in the sight of God. That ought not to be. Because I'm bought with the price, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I'm bought with the price of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ought to do those things which is going to please Him with my life. And I'm doing things for my flesh, not for the Lord. Now, let's give some illustrations of this morning. What some things that I do for the flesh isn't for the Lord? Now, keep in mind, many times in our lives, we do things because we want to feed that flesh and make that flesh good. Do you know that certain activities ought not to take place in a believer's life? Because it is feeding the old nature, not the new nature. The Bible says, when we get saved, we become a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. The Bible says that we're to feed the flesh, not the spirit. We're to feed the spirit, not the flesh. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And what we do is what we produce in our lives. And we have come to a place in our lives that it's all about us. Let's give some illustrations. Look at your life this week. What decisions did you make this week? And look at those decisions that each of us made this week. Was it for the flesh or was it for the spirit? Now, I'm going to share some things. What about in regards to our sleep? Now, we all need sleep. I understand that. But we allow that to become an issue because we think we need all this sleep and we're all tired. How many are tired? I believe every one of us is tired. Every one of us is busy. But you know what people did? Not just in this room. I'm talking Christians in general. You know what we did? You know what people have done? They want more sleep. So they skip the things that are going to help them in their Christian life. They're feeding in the flesh, not the spirit. You see, there's nothing wrong with sleep. But you know what? When sleep keeps us from serving God, living for God, and doing, there's an issue. You see, the issue is this. As we get into this, it's now the body is not for fornication. It's not for self-gratification. It's not for yourself. Your body's not for yourself. Your body's for the Lord. Your life is for God. Well, I'm tired. You know what the Bible says? Be not weary in well-doing. You know how you not get weary in well-doing? You do it for the Lord and you serve God. Well, you know why we get tired and we say it's because we're serving God? It's not because we're serving God. It's because I'm doing this activity, I'm doing that activity, I'm involved in this, I'm involved in that. And those things are not bad, but they're not profitable for you because it's taking you away from doing what God wants you to do in your life. It's not for the Lord. You see, everything I do ought to be for the Lord, not for myself. This is not my life. It's His life. It's not what I want to do. It's what God wants to do in and through me. It's not what I want to bring joy to my life. It's what God wants to bless me with as I serve Him, and He gives me that joy in my life. It's this idea, I understand this principle, that because I want to do it for the Lord, not for myself, it's not sacrificing to give up certain things. Did you hear that? If I'm doing it for the Lord, it's not sacrificing to so-called give up things. If my life is about God and not about myself, I should have no problem saying I'm going to do without certain things. And it should not be something I do grudgingly. It shouldn't be something that I even struggle with. Because it's not about me. It's not about my body. It's not about feeding the flesh. It's not about doing what makes me happy. It's about the Lord. That's what Paul was saying to the church of Corinth. You want to be involved in those activities because it makes you feel good. Don't be involved in those. Serve God. We got to serve the Lord. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. We got to remove those things. And there's got to be removing of feeding the flesh. And we got to start feeding the spirit. You know, some people get involved in different activities, in different things. And what happens is, we get ourselves feeding that, and we neglect the things that are important to serving God and living for Him. But I want you to see the truth here. We could spend a lot of time on a lot of this. It may be permissible, but it's not profitable. It may be okay, but it's not the best. There's some things that you got to remove because it's not about your body. It's not about what brings you satisfaction. It's not about you glorifying yourself and bringing self-gratification. It's about the Lord. But how is this possible? Look at verse 14. I want you to see the power. The power. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. And this goes back to verse 13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. God's going to destroy those things. And verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. Paul made it clear that our bodies are for the Lord. They're not for indulging in sin. Did you get that? Our bodies are for the Lord. They're not for indulging in sin. Believers belong to the Lord. But then he refers to the resurrection power of God. And he says the same power that's going to raise the Lord up is the same power that can give you victory over your flesh. Give you victory over your sin that you're indulging in. Give you victory over the things that have a hold on you. Giving you victory over the things that may be permissible, but not the best for you. It may be okay. God can raise up the Lord Jesus Christ and have victory over death. Victory over the grave is the same God that can raise you up and raise me up and give us victory in our life so we can please God. He says, there's a power here. I'm glad I don't have to do this myself. Because I want what's best, but I don't have the power to always do the best. I'm going to be honest. I'm talking to me right now. I don't always do what I need to do when I do try to do it myself. I struggle just like any other human being in this room. I have that battle going on just like anyone else has in your life. And that battle's going, and the battle's raging, and there's the struggles that are happening and things that are going. And there's that battle happening in our lives and it's going. And we know, because there's times you're sitting back and you're going, well, I know it's okay to do, but I know I probably shouldn't because it's not going to help me grow for God. But man, it's hard. Well, you know what? Just this one time, I'm going to go ahead and give in to this a little bit. And yeah, it's not really going to affect me too much in my life. Oh, I know I shouldn't give self-gratification to myself. I know, but God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be able to enjoy life. And you know what? I don't think God wants me to be miserable, not be involved in this thing and that thing. And I know I probably shouldn't be involved in this, and I know I probably shouldn't be doing this. But you know what? And we struggle with it. You know what God says? God says, you might excuse it. You might justify it. You might say it's okay to do. You might have your reasons and your excuses to do it. But it's not the best for your life. Because your life is what? To please God day in and day out because you bought with a price. Your life is not your own. Your life is His. But we're going to struggle to please God daily. But I don't have to please God daily by myself because there's a power that can help me live for Him daily. That power that raises the Lord, that power of the resurrection, is the same power that can raise us up and give us victory over those sins and those things in our life. You see, there's some things in your life, there's some things maybe in my life that have a hold of us this morning, that is keeping us from God's best for our lives. There's some things that maybe have control over you this morning, that you're struggling with this morning. And you know it's not the best. You know you need to get rid of it. You know you need to confess it. You know you need to deal with it. But man, you've been struggling for some time with it. It's holding you back. It's holding you down. It's keeping you from serving God. It's keeping you from living for God. It could be any of those things we mentioned. It could be something we didn't even mention this morning. And it has the control over you. It has that over you. But I want to tell you this morning, no matter how much control it has over you, God can give you victory this morning. And God wants to give you victory this morning. God has the power to do that this morning. We don't have to walk around defeated this morning. We don't have to walk around second class, second best. We can have the best for our lives. God wants us to please Him. It's okay. He may be permissible, but it's not the best. And I believe we have a lot of believers living average Christian lives. I don't think God wants us to be average. I believe God wants us to be fully committed and fully surrendered. I believe God wants us to be walking with Him daily and pleasing Him. Now, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to fall, but we confess it. He picks us up, gets us going again, and we're pleasing God once again in our lives. And God gives you the victory to get over that sin. God gives you the victory to get over that temptation. God gives you the victory to deal with the things that you're dealing with. And God will give you the victory in your life. Do you know what makes a difference. You ever notice why some believers seem more joyful and it seems like they have more of God's blessing upon their lives? You know what the difference is? Not that they don't struggle like you struggle, but they realize what they need to do, and they realize the power that they can have in Christ Jesus, and they go to Him, and they get that power they need to have victory, because they're not supernatural Christians, but they serve the same supernatural God that we serve. Do you know Paul wasn't perfect? You know, it's interesting. I read about Paul, and I see Paul hitting these churches, Corinth and Ephesus, and he's hitting them, and he's hitting those sins. But I also remember in Romans where Paul says, I struggle. I know what I should do, and I don't always do it, and I do the things I know I shouldn't do. And Paul admitted he struggles himself too. So how could Paul get down on these churches? How can a preacher tell me what to do? That preacher's a sinner just like me. What is he doing? Because what did Paul learn? Paul learned, even though he was a human, even though he struggled, even though he sinned, he realized where the power came to have victory in his life. And that's what he wanted the church at Corinth to get. He wanted the church at Corinth to know, this isn't good for you, but not that it's not just good for you. I want you to live a victorious life, and this is how you can live the victorious life. The same God that raised up the Lord Jesus Christ is the same God that can raise you up and give you victory in your life. That's what Paul wanted them to see. This morning, I want you to understand this morning, just because you're involved in things does not mean that you are the most terrible, wicked person in the past that thinks you're just awful. No. You know what my heart is? I know you're going to struggle because I struggle. I know you're going to have hard times because I have hard times. But I want you to understand this morning, you can have victory in your life no matter what you're facing. And I want the best for you, just as I want the best for my life. As a parent, what does the father want? He wants the best for his child possible. What does he do? He tries to provide as much as he can to give his child the best life possible. And the father does everything within his power to be able to see that take place and happen. We have a Heavenly Father this morning that has all power, that wants the best for you, wants the best for me in our lives. And He has given us everything we need in our lives that we can have the best in our lives. And He has the power to do so. He's not limited. He wants the best. Okay, but it's not the best. Permissible, but not profitable. There needs to be not about ourselves, but it's about the Lord. And that victory comes from the power of God in our lives. Are you, am I pleasing God this morning with our lives? Jesus said in John chapter 8, I do always those things that please my Heavenly Father. I want to ask you this morning, if you're saved this morning, are you striving to do always those things that please your Heavenly Father? Let's be honest. We say yes, but let's look back. What I'm doing daily on a regular basis, is it helping me fulfill it? If it's not, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I need your power so I can start doing the things I need to do, so I can do the best you want me to do and glorify you as I should in my life. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious